Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, greetings, greetings. Yes, this is Nazim Rashid, Nazim Abdul Rashid, author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. All right, join you on this fantastic God-given day today. Nice blue skies. See a little green grass out there, green trees out there. It's a glorious, fantastic day. Another day of miracles and possibilities. All right, fantastic. So we're going to have a fantastic show today, wonderful show, on Conscious Parenting and Personal Growth, Part 18. Yes, Part 18, believe it or not. So, like I always say, I encourage everybody to go into the archives and hear the past 17 installments. Yes, 17 installments. Go to Blog Talk Radio. You know, put your www in there first. blogradio.com/reconnected. That's my show. There it is. This one is / email Alfred. Email Alfred. My show on Saturday is reconnected. So you can put that same beginning part, blogtalkradio.com/reconnected, to see my show on Saturdays. It comes on at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Saturdays. All right, but today we're focusing on conscious parenting and personal growth. All right. So we have a lot to talk about here today. Last time we talked about identifying and managing emotions. We're on that chapter in the book. I'm pulling out the personal growth areas in the book and applying it to the topic at hand, which is conscious parenting and personal growth. And you know, identifying and managing emotions is very, 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 very critical. Yeah, a lot of us have, you know, a lot of you out there listening, you know, you might have done some work on yourself. You still have some problems with your anger, problem with your emotions. You know, when things happen, your buttons get pushed all too easily, and you go off on somebody. A lot of times it's your precious mate, your husband, your wife. You do things that you are ashamed of doing. Emotional abuse, berating, belittling, even physical abuse. Now, you apologize afterwards, but, you know, hey, come on. Stop it. Get help. And that's what we're doing today, is giving you some ideas as to what you can do. Now, you can always, you know, and I always encourage counseling. I'm a counselor myself. I have over 20 years in the mental health and drug counseling fields. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I believe in counseling for sure. If you want counseling, you can get in touch with me and I can refer you. I know a good person who actually does it on the phone, has an online service. Okay? So email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com. nrbookclub@gmail.com. All right? And I can refer you to someone. We're on the phone, they take care of you. You know, sometimes they take insurance also. So please get help. All right, now, right now, I've given you 17 installments of this show, which is all free. And you might find your help within this installment, within this series. If so, praise God. All right, maybe today, praise God. Get it one way or another. Get it. So you can be healed and help those around you and have a good life, good marriage, good parenting experience. Those kids don't deserve your anger, your abuse, and all because you haven't worked it out within yourself. You throw it on your wife, throw it on your kids. Huh? Then they grow up dysfunctional, not having good relationships. Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. Listen carefully and internalize the messages I'm giving you here so you can have a nice, fulfilling life. That's more important than your ego. Okay? Real important to understand that. All right. Now, we talked about the brain last time, neocortex and amygdala, hypothalamus, the prefrontal cortex, all those things we talked about last time. Breathing, how to breathe deeply. Yes. So you can de-escalate, and bring the blood flow back to the front part of your brain instead of the back part where all the emotions and instinct are located. Yeah, matter of fact, if you go on my Facebook page, facebook.com/childselflove. Again, facebook.com/childselflove. I have a posting of a video of children, little ones, like 6, 7, 8 years old, teaching you how to deep breathe, talking about what anger does, how it scrambles the brain. This is a fantastic video clip. A guy from one of Oprah's short films that she does on Sunday, her Super Soul Sunday she has, which is fantastic too. Yeah, go there and so you see what these little kids are talking about as to how they can teach you how to breathe and the benefits of breathing, taking time, slowing your road, breathing deeply. Yeah, very, very important to do. So I went into details about that last week. I'm going to go to it some more before the series is over with. Okay? All right. Oh, by the way, you can get the book in Barnes & Noble and Amazon and my website, 3Ws.cloudsofabundance.com. Cloudsofabundance.com. Okay? And I'll actually mail it to you and autograph it for you. You need to get this information. It's time to stop having these dysfunctional, brutal lives. Okay? Real important to understand that. All right? Okay, so I'm going to go over a little bit of what we did last week. I talked about recognizing patterns. We need to recognize the patterns within us, you know, that are causing the problems. If you know you got a certain pattern of destruction, you know, then change it and create new patterns. Yeah. The human being follows patterns or neural pathways. Right, on a behavioral level, the neural patterns lead to behavior patterns. At a young age, we learn lessons of how to cope, how to get our needs met, and how to protect ourselves. These strategies reinforce each other, and we develop a complex structure of beliefs to support the validity of the behaviors. As we become more conscious of the patterns we exhibit, it becomes possible to, one, analyze the beliefs and replace them if appropriate. It doesn't matter. Hey, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what your parents say you should believe in or what your friends say you believe in. It doesn't matter what you think you should be believing in. You need to analyze it and be man enough, woman enough to replace them if they are not working for you. If it's not working for you, replace them. I don't care what the religious title or spiritual title is. Do what works for you. All shoes don't fit everybody. All right? Okay, and interrupt the pattern and replace it with a conscious behavior that moves you closer to your goals. Okay? Now, when you replace the negative patterns consistently, you form new habits. When you form new habits, you actually start establishing new neural pathways in your brain. This is verified by quantum scientists. I love quantum science. Oh, yeah, learn a lot that way. Having new neural pathways makes it easier for you to act in your new pattern because the brain is reprogrammed. It operates and pushes you toward your new desires. Yeah, this also proves successful in addiction recovery programs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Since we know that patterns lead to habits which are hard to break later in life, we have to instill patterns of positive behavior in yourself first and then in your little ones. The antecedent, remember I talked about antecedent before? You know, ABC of behaviors, antecedent behavior consequences. I remember that? Okay. The antecedent of the habits you see demonstrated are the patterns of behaviors that were either taught or modeled by the adults or peers in your environment. Oh, yeah. How do you do what is right for you? Can you increase your awareness of your actions so that you see their effects? If you're not afraid, what would you do? Can you live with doing less than what is right? Remember, it is in the left prefrontal lobe where this happens. See, you have to have an uncompromising standard of thoughts and behavior that is life-producing, love-producing, happiness-producing, harmony-producing, excuse me, harmony-producing, and health-producing. When these ideals are firmly in place, then you can measure any new energy or emotion that may come your way by your new accepted standards. Okay? Now, I'm going to talk about consequential thinking. I talked about this last week, too. Okay, I'm going to kind of go over a couple of things I did last time. Okay? Feelings provide insight and energy, and they are the basis for almost every decision. Instead of disconnecting your emotions, you need to control your actions so that you have time to make the most creative, insightful, and powerful decisions. Particularly when dealing with conflict or crisis, you need to slow down the process and apply carefully strategies that lead to decisions informed by the fused powers of heart and mind. This habit of mind stems from a clear understanding of the consequences of your choices and the ability to imagine the cause and effect relationships. Oh, yeah. Now, one key mechanism to develop and monitor consequential thinking is self-talk. I talk about this all the time. Oh, my workshops. Yeah, for sure. Got to watch what you say to yourself. Self-talk is a mechanism to mentally explore multiple options and viewpoints. It provides a system to balance the various of yourself. Just as in conversation outside of ourselves or inside of yourself, sometimes the louder voice gets more attention. The issue in both cases is to develop a process where listening is valued and all the voices, loud and soft, are heard. See, we have to be conscious of the sequential nature of our thoughts. Every thought you think is creating your world. So you have to be conscious of the building blocks you are creating. One thought leads to another and to another and so on. What kind of life are you building for yourself? Huh? What you currently have is a great place to start. What you have is a result of consequential thinking. So, is it what you want to have as your life representation, or is it something else? Okay? All right, here's a poem I saw in my doctor's office, an anonymous poem called The Essence of Beauty. Watch your thoughts, for they become your words. Choose your thoughts, for they become actions. Understand your actions, for they become habits. Study your habits, for they become your character. Develop your character, for it becomes your destiny. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, we got to motivate ourselves. Motivation comes from the Latin word movere, which means to move. It is a goal-oriented behavior. In essence, you take action because it feels good to do so. It feels right to take a break when you're on overload, doesn't it? Then it feels right to go back to work. Yeah. To see, the challenge is to make it feel right to take action that does not have an immediate reward. To do so, you have to tap into that part of yourself that has a bigger view. You need to both shape unconscious habits and examine priorities to make sure they match. Yeah. There is a positive and negative motivation. The negative perspective says, what do I lose? Or what are the consequences of not doing this thing? The positive position says, What do I gain by doing this thing? See, when you focus on the positive side versus the negative side, you're more apt to receive more benefits of the object you are pursuing. Okay? Now, why not choose optimism? And too many of us, I'm telling you, you know, in our communities, we choose pessimism. If you look on Facebook, I have a Facebook page. I got about 600 people on there, you know, and most of them are so-called believers. When I look at what they're posting, most of it's negative. Fights, racism, victimization. You know, you don't see a lot of optimism there. So what's wrong with us? Yeah, that's why you're having the negative things come in your life. You're attracting what you're putting out there. See, optimism, let's get clear on what this word means to us, okay? Optimism is a strong belief that the best is possible and probable in your life. Let me say it again. The strong belief, possible and probable in your life. See, children are born optimistic and tend to stay that way until about the age of 6 or 7, you know? It varies. At that time, life's difficulties impinge enough that the door is open for hopelessness. Yeah, unfortunately so, depending on their environment. Research suggests that to avoid getting trapped in the negativity, people need at least one refuge. Come on, give me at least one, yeah? The refuge can be a person or a practice, such as reading, playing music, drawing art, or other art activities that provides positive input. It is remarkable to think that one source of kindness, comfort, or hope is enough to combat the terrible perils that some children experience. Oh, it's pretty horrible. Yeah. Optimism validates our long-term motivation because it lets us see the future as positive and worthwhile. See, optimism allows us to see beyond the present and feel good about what may happen. Yeah. And myself, I was a suicidal kid. Yeah, I had a brother that was kind of beat me down emotionally, not physically, but emotionally, you know, telling me all the things I can't do and, you know, had a kind of a slave-master kind of relationship, you know. And I had suicidal fantasies at a young age. And I tried to commit it in my teenage years, you know, for sure. So, you know, I said, I didn't have that one. Remember I said, if you had like one person, one practice, I didn't have that at all. So that's why, you know, I didn't have any hold, or at least on life. I didn't have that when I was younger. You know, I didn't have that. I almost lost my life behind it. So it's very important for us to hold on to what life has for us, all the great things, all the miracles. Yeah, for sure. It's very important for us to have optimism as an internal part of our makeup, okay? We're going to talk about empathy. A lot of us don't know how to do this either, especially our brothers. See, empathy is the ability to feel with, to recognize and respond to other people's emotions. It is connected to optimism because it is through a sense of our connection to others that we see our own effectiveness and importance. Got that? Say it again. It's through our sense of our connection to others that we see our own effectiveness and importance. When we are empathic, it hurts us to hurt others or to see them hurt. Yeah. See, we actually experience for ourselves the emotions of others. It is motivating then not only to do what makes us feel good, but what makes others feel good. See, a lot of brothers don't get that, and, you know, some do. More of us sisters have this, but it's important for all of us to have this. Yeah. Thus, empathy is the force which makes the golden rule true. Once people develop empathy on a conscious level, it becomes self-reinforcing because it answers a deep-seated need to connect with others. That's very important. You're talking about having a happy marriage and being a best parent and being the best person. You need to know how to connect with others and respect others. Yeah, for sure. If you don't respect other people, they why would they connect with you? You know? Too many of us still leading ego-centered lives. See, our ego tends to get in the way of us demonstrating empathy at times. You see, when a person, you find a person who has a challenge in maintaining or even, and really even calm composure, or has a tendency to act before they think, hello, or just has an ultra-sensitive emotional makeup, you will find a person that has a challenge of ego getting in the way of their balanced human emotionality. They're too self-centered in their thinking. Yeah, I'm telling you. You don't want to have a happy marriage and a calm house with your children? You got to empathize. Get on their level. Talk to them. Yeah, let the kids talk to you and listen to them. Yeah, join the conversation and, you know, from their point of view. Let them lead you. Yes. In the conversation of how they're feeling and how their day is and so forth. Yes. See, you can mentally block out your frame of reference, you know, the situation as if it were happening to you, your judgments and criticism. Yeah, you can block those things out and join other person in their frame of reference. Don't be so self-centered. See, when you do this and adopt the other person's frame of reference and their point of view, then you can say that you are demonstrating empathy. A lot of us don't get it. See? Now, see, the word sympathy, let me show you a difference. Sympathy means you're feeling for someone. Empathy, you're feeling with someone. Empathy, you're connecting with the emotions and feelings. Sympathy, you're just sad for them, okay? Like, say, same as your neighbor died across the street. You didn't know him that well. You go over and send some flowers. You're sympathizing, you know, with them for the death. You feel sorry for them. You didn't know them. You can't connect with them. That's sympathy. Now, empathy, you go over there and you see yourself there crying with them because, you know, hey, that loss was your loss also. You're connected to them. We need to connect empathically to our mates, our husbands and wives, and to our children. Yes, when you validate them, tell them how precious they are, they're God's gift on earth. Yeah, you connect with them. Oh, man, they'll do wonders for you. Absolutely, absolutely. Okay? I'm going to give a little example I made up here. Got Leticia and Monica. Okay, here we go. No fun example. By the way, if you want to join the conversation, just hit one and I'll bring you in. Leticia comes over Monica's house to visit, and Leticia tells Monica what happened to her today. She says, "Girl, you don't know what happened at the library today. Let me tell you. I was studying my political science homework, and Tyrone came over and sat right next to me." Leticia obviously likes Tyrone. As she is telling the story, her eyes widen and she starts glowing and smiling. Monica jumps in and says, "Oh yeah? I know Tyrone's cousin, and girl, is he fine. He might go out to we might go out to a show next week if I play my cards right. His name is Monroe, and he is majoring in business administration. He walks like Denzel, girl. I can't help staring at him when he walks down the hall." To diminish, and her smile fades. Okay, she is wondering if Monica felt her enthusiasm at all and is feeling a little disappointed with Monica. Leticia cuts in and says, "Hey, girl, wait. Hold tight here. Here I'm telling you about my experience in the library with Tyrone. Before I can finish, you start on about his cousin. I thought you were listening to me, but obviously I was mistaken." As she rolls her eyes in disgust and sucks her teeth. Now, what just happened here is called conversation hijacking. Okay? And you look, you know, y'all do it all the time. I know you experience it probably on a daily basis. We'll go back to Leticia and Monica for examples of correctness. All right? First of all, while Leticia is telling her story, Monica is using appropriate body language that says, "You have my full attention, girlfriend." Okay? She is not on the phone, washing dishes, looking at TV, or thumbing through magazines. She is looking directly at Leticia with interest. After Leticia says, Tyrone came over and sat down next to her in the library. Monica says, now, go ahead, girl, and then what happened? What did he do? What did you do? See? Letitia says next, then he gives me his number, asks for mine too, and says that he would love to study with me since we are in the same class. See? As she flits her eyelashes several times with her glow growing, Monica almost faints and says, wow, haven't you been hoping that he would notice you sometime? Now you know that you have been liking him all school year. Your heart must have flipped. Did you pass out? See? See the difference this time? Monica kept her feedback and comments on Letitia and Letitia's feelings and did not interject anything that was centered around Monica's feelings or experiences. See? This way, both about a win. They brought about a win on both sides. The win on both sides. Letitia wins because her feelings were heard, validated, and supported, and Monica wins because she was successful at demonstrating empathy, making her best friend feel good. Okay? Monica's ego was never brought into the conversation. And Monica won in displaying a healthy balance of emotions that produce good feelings for everyone. Now, after she notices Letitia's good feelings and she has finished telling her story, then Monica can make the shift to Tyrone's cousin, Monroe. Okay? See, at this point, Letitia is satisfied and is willing now to be the empathic friend to Monica. See a difference there? Yeah. Now, just watch your conversation you have with your partners, your mate or anybody. See who brings the conversation up, the topic up first, and see what the other person does. Do they listen attentively and ask questions from their frame of reference, or do they hijack and talk about how they feel, or how it affects them? People do it all the time. It's really something, my family's like that. When I go to my family south, they do it all the time. I'm just patient, because they don't know any better. I wait and I bring my topic back, and then after a while, you didn't want to know. Well, why are you still talking about that? Well, I never finished the first time. You butted in, stole the conversation. All right, now can we get back on the horse that I was riding? Yeah, I'm telling you. And people are something else, you see? But we're talking about how we correct things. That's why this is called conscious parenting and personal growth. We're trying to change things and make a shift within ourselves so we can operate differently. Okay, got that? Okay, all right. Now I'm going to introduce what's called the 6-second pause. Remember, we're talking about identifying and managing emotions here, right? Okay. The 6-second pause. What you need is a technique to slow down and listen to all the voices in your subconscious. The loud ones that want revenge and respect, and the soft ones that want love and compassion, and the other voices in between. Loud voices can be anger, jealousy, judgments, self-doubt, and even happy feelings, really. Point is, not to have one voice dominating your emotional landscape. All right? It turns out that those shouting voices hang out in the one part of your brain called the limbic ring, L-I-M-B-I-C. You can look it up, L-I-M-B-I-C, the limbic ring. So when they get too loud, if you can use another part of your brain for about 6 seconds, you can create a moment in which you can choose a constructive response to emotions and feelings. You can creatively express the emotions you want to express, and you can do so in a manner consistent with your goals. If you want to create a pause, try using the analytical part of your brain, the frontal cortex. Remember I taught that before, especially last time. The prefrontal cortex for about 6 seconds. The frontal cortex performs work like math, language, complex visual, or auditory processing, rational decision-making, and other high-order thinking. Matter of fact, when I used to teach in school, I used to teach a personal growth class in high schools. Yeah. What we did, I had the kids, I told them to think about math problem. Say, for instance, they run into someone, and because they're in tune with their own body, you know, the antecedents, those precursors to anger, they knew what's coming on. So I says, in order to keep yourself rational, all right, just start doing multiplication table, math equations and so forth. You know, adults, you can start looking at your checkbook and start thinking about what's in your account. From that limbic region to the frontal cortex. Yeah. And when you come to the front, there's no anger allowed in the front. Did you know that? You can't get angry up there. Anger is from the back of the brain, not the front. So when you put the emphasis to the front, you're now able to decide rationally what you're going to do with this person. Can you handle them, or do you need to walk away, or what? Yeah, very important to understand that. And then breathe. When you get up there, the front part of your brain, you can breathe like I was talking about earlier. Deep breathe, diaphragmatic breathing. I talked about it last time. You want to know more about that? I think I just spent the last whole session on the diaphragmatic breathing process. So go to archives and hear part 17. Okay, yeah. See, as you make the effective pause, the 6-second pause, you make the cortex work hard by focusing your energy on just one of these tasks. Yeah, and remember, when a pause button you use becomes habitual, 6-second pause. All right, then it's time for a new one. Example: switch from math problems to language essays. You know, see, your brain needs variety, just as us humans. You know, variety keeps you thinking, so apathy does not set in. Yeah, so switch up. And this is a stop a lot of fighting. You know, I hope none of y'all are involved in the spousal abuse. You know, if you are, this is to save your marriage, save your life. Yeah, for sure. Okay? Yeah. It's very important to understand that. So I'm giving you some real tools here. Now, you can go to the counselor and spend $100, $200 an hour to give you the same exact information. Counselor will tell you how to breathe, pause from your high emotional state, so you can respond rationally instead of emotionally. You want to get your check afterwards. So you're getting this free of charge. And you can download all these programs free of charge. Okay? Keep that in mind. All right? Yeah, that's very important to understand that. Okay. Now, our youth, there's also in parenting. I'm always trying to go back and forth in the parenting aspect to just the pure adult personal growth aspect. So regarding youth, our youth have so many emotional needs. They do. They go unheard and neglected, which results in emotionally unbalanced adults with a variety of negative outcomes. Like I told you before, I was suicidal when I was younger. Yeah, mine were neglected, unvalidated. So I was ready to check out of here myself. Yeah, for sure. This is what I do. I've been through, some homelessness and with the 12-step process and all that. Yeah. Yeah. So I came out on the other end becoming healthy practicing Muslim, and want to give back to the world and give them a world a tool in my way of remaking the world. Give back a tool that can provide a change so you can actually change your life around totally and not be ruled by those unconscious voices of the past. That's what my book Reconnect is all about. Yeah, for sure. You know? So very important to connect with our youth, while they're still very young. All right? Now, my book is called How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, and the child self is that self you once were. All right? So that's the main objective of my book, is to find out how you can connect to that little child self and make changes on the feeling level regarding the many childhood experiences which will subconsciously change your emotional makeup as adults. You might think that you can't do anything about the past. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You're still carrying feelings from the past. You can change the feelings. Change the feelings. Your perspective of the past changes. Thus, you can have a free and productive life now. Okay? All right. All right. As I describe what children need, and I do that in the book, and how we can help them to develop themselves emotionally, you can start interacting with your own child self as the mentor now you can start doing that, you know? Yeah, for sure. It's very important to understand that, okay? All right. Now I'm going to talk about, you know, the healthy male energy in the house. Now this is the parenting side now, and the parenting side, because a lot of you don't get it. So when children are looking at you, little infants, they got, you know, their little, you know, internal camcorder going. They're recording everything, in case you didn't know that. And they be what they see. They don't be what you say. All right? So no matter what you tell them to do, here I am smoking two packs of cigarettes a day, telling children, don't smoke. You catch a 12-year-old smoking crack in the bathroom, and you wonder, what happened? Well, how'd that happen? I told her not to smoke anything. No. She saw the hypocrite in you. She said, smoking's okay for you. I'll smoke myself. I'll smoke some crack. You know, you can't do that. Can't do that. No. It's very important to understand that, you see. So you need to take seriously, you know, think seriously. Think seriously about what responsibilities are necessary in parenting before you decide to have a new family. Now, this is, you know, a lot of us dealing with the horse out of the barn already, you know. But there are some of you who are still thinking about marriage. You're not a parent yet. You're thinking about it. You might be engaged or you're thinking about it, okay? And you want some healthy skills now before you get married, before you have children. If I'm talking to one of you, I congratulate you. You're one of the special rare ones out there. Yeah, for sure. See, the child needs to have a certain consistent energy flow of attention from the mother and a certain consistent energy flow of attention from the father. This all starts in the womb as the baby is developing. Yeah. There have been studies, yeah, which shows that babies which show some level of apathy and general non-interest experience some distress in the womb emotionally. Okay, I'm telling you, it's been documented. And maybe for the mother's lack of emotional control or the father's stressing interventions with the mother or either of their disapproval of the pregnancy or maybe from someone else making negative remarks about the unborn child or the pregnancy itself, all kind of negative, you know, factors come into play here. Any negative energy around the developing child is absorbed by the child on one level or another. So this is why intelligent physicians tell the newborn to play tell the new mother to play soothing music and talk kindly to the child as much as possible. Oh yes. Keep stress to a minimum and tell others around to do the same. That's right. Monitor that environment around that newborn or the unborn. Laugh. Watch comedies, funny movies, and have fun, loving people around, bringing love and compassion to the unborn angel. Yeah, this is how it's supposed to be done. Now, some have done that, and babies come out laughing all the time. What a joy to see. I've seen it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Children need the healthy male energy. And when it is not there, or if it is unbalanced male energy, the child will adopt an unbalanced perspective in that area, which will result in unbalanced thinking and reactions. Okay? Whatever the child experiences at home is considered acceptable and right within that child. You hear that one? Yeah. What are you smoking, drinking, or knocking your husband or wife around? Within that child, so, oh, this is normal. Okay, this is normal. They're recording all these things. They may not understand it, but if daddy did it, it must be right. If the father has a pattern of wrong, unhealthy behavior, the child will absorb that standard. And if the child is a male, then that now accepted standard is one that he will most likely adopt as his own. Mm-hmm. If the child is more introspective and more compassionate toward the one that is more available, like the mother, then that child will be more likely to be subconsciously building up a discontent toward the father. They're following after the father, as healthy family models demonstrate. The child winds up following after no one. It becomes withdrawn, isolative, depressed, and non-connecting except to the mother. Mm-hmm. Even then, they harbor a part of themselves that's unknown to anyone. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not good. Very dangerous. They don't feel safe and supported in their true expressions of feelings. Yeah. They might identify with television heroes and cartoon characters that display a certain quality that they wish they had. See, these type of kids are considered by psychologists to be the lost child. Those of y'all have been through 12 steps, you know about the lost child, you know, and Dr. Bradshaw mentioned that in this book also, Reconnect This, so it's in the book here also. Mm-hmm. Other types like scapegoats, heroes, and mascots, you know. Yeah, those are other titles there. Yep. So those other types of children will become unhealthy father figures themselves as they have accepted the standard that their own father established. Mm-hmm. See, any type of imbalance in the household can result in a variety of imbalances in the children. The path the kids take emotionally all depends on what type of soul God gave them at birth. Ooh, it's all different, you know, not the same. Not the same, you know. Now, I'm telling you, you know, for those who are not parents anymore, you might say, well, you know, I really can't get into this right now. You need to listen because I'm telling you, just check how you were raised. You might be one of these children that experienced your father or your mother doing some destructive things in the household, and you actually internalize on an unconscious level these same dysfunctional attributes. So it still applies, okay? Yeah. So you can't expect for two kids to be exactly the same, you know, with the same conditions in the house. It just doesn't work that way, and parents need to accept that. Yeah. This is why the father needs to understand his role in the family and know that he is always on stage when he is around his kids. See, everything he says is being recorded, and everything he does is being filmed and stored. Yeah. His body language is being observed, and his relationship level with the mother is being documented. The little boy. Now, you really pay attention to this right now. If you're a brother out there, you know, just follow me along here. See what resonates within you. The little boy child is asking questions inwardly as he is watching and feeling his father. Right? Now, listen to all these questions that the boy is asking. How am I supposed to be as an adult later? How am I supposed to treat my wife, prosperity partner, best friend, and soulmate? How am I supposed to work with her and jointly raise my family? What are some options out there for me to explore and experience, provide a different way for me to make money? How am I supposed to set the tone in the house? How am I supposed to spend time with my kids in and out of the house, one-on-one? How am I supposed to lead the family? How am I supposed to provide for my family? How do I make decisions? How do I discipline my children when it is my turn to do so? How do I bring happiness to the family? How do I model healthy, appropriate fatherhood to my young ones? How do I concentrate on quality time with each member of the family, ensuring connectedness and emotional stability? Ooh, that's a good one. How do I have and maintain a healthy relationship with money so that money is a servant and not the other way around? Okay. How do I define strength, courage, and leadership in and out of the house? How do I honor and respect God in the house? Oh, another big one. How do I acknowledge, honor, and respect the individual nature of my kids later on? How do I define contentment and pride as a man? How do I get inspired to pursue my greatness within? Okay, that's a good one. How do I get motivated to maintain a high level of happiness in the house? Mm-hmm. How do I communicate and listen empathically, ensuring connectedness and understanding? How do I develop a can-do mindset? How do I acknowledge and honor my own soul? Okay. How do I maintain and attain a limitless frame of mind, knowing that abundance is in my nature and that I was given all I need for the complete fulfillment of my life? Whew. Now, see, all these are questions that the little boy is asking as he's observing his father, okay? So man is measured by what he knows, by what he represents, and by what he produces. This is a saying I love that's in my book. I'll say it again. A man is measured by what he knows, by what he represents, by what he produces. See, a real man produces more than he consumes. Let me say that again. A real man produces more than he consumes. Knowing this, how do I become consistently productive and progressive? See, this is what the mind of the male child is asking to himself, and the emotional and social path that waits for the child depends on the answers he receives from you, the papa. Okay? All right. Now that's the little man child there, okay? Now how about the sisters? All right? Okay. Their turn. The mindset of the female child is asking some different questions and some of the same ones as she takes note of how her father presents himself. Okay? Take note of this. How is my future husband supposed to treat me? Mm-hmm. How is my strength, courage, and discipline developed? Mm-hmm. What kind of attitude is my husband supposed to have as we are jointly raising our kids? How does my future husband provide for the family financially, emotionally, socially, and spiritually? Is he acting like my true hero? Mm-hmm. Now, as she turns her attention to her father, she asks, does he model the healthy hero image for my future husband? Is he my rock on whom I can always depend? Is he the modeling kind of husband that concentrates consistently on easing the burdens, whatever they may be, of me, the wife? Is he the true source of happiness for my mom? Does he bring a gleam to her eye and a loving smile when he enters her space? Whew. Does he bring the kind of love that I want to have in my future household? Mm-hmm. See, children need to have healthy female energy. When kids don't get the right kind of nurturing, compassion, cleanliness, what happens? The imbalanced perspectives in these areas start taking place within. Yeah. See, when I taught personal development skills, I noticed one of my students had an infant child that was obviously needing some type of maternal attention. The child was nervously wiggling around, frowning, and whimpering. And when I asked the mother if she was going to do something, she responded with, my mother didn't pick me up or spoil me, so, why should I pick up my baby every time she cries? I asked her if she didn't like the loving hug from her mother as she was growing up, and she said, my mother didn't do all of that, so why should I? You know, it's really something to see that. I've never witnessed that before in my entire life. I felt so sorry for her newborn. Yeah. Who knows how that baby will turn out, but whatever the outcome, it will be one of imbalance, that's for sure. See, hatred, rebellion, early delinquency, and a criminal, yeah, and a criminal behavior, you know, might be waiting for that child, you know. Mothers set their own spiritual tone in the house, regardless of what out, yeah. Yeah, let me say it again. Mothers set their own special tone in the house. Regardless of what outside demands and responsibilities the mother has, her home is her castle, and a healthy mother will run her house. Yeah. She is the first educator, first teacher, and the one who initiates the discipline standards. She is the symbol of love, compassion, empathy, and God. Yeah, God in our infant lives. Yeah. Yeah, to the infant, mother is God. She performs magic and is the source for food and comfort. As the male child observes his mother, okay, here it goes. As the male child now observes his mother, his inner self asks these questions. Is she there when I need her? Can I use her qualities for my future wife? Is she a good source for food? Is her food good? Is mealtime a time I can dream of or dread? Can I have a good fun time with her? Depend on her to protect me against the outside people? Will she come back to pick me up from school? Can I always learn from her as I get older? Does she really know what I'm thinking? That's a funny one. How does she treat and respect my father? Will she show me how to treat my future wife and children? Will she tell me what my roles and responsibilities are as a healthy husband? All right, now the female child's mind will probably ask. Remember, I'm on the girl now. The female child's mind will probably ask, is this kind of modeling the way I'm supposed to be? Is this the way I'm supposed to run my future house? Is this the way I'm supposed to get what I need from my husband? A funny one. Is this the way I am to interact with him when he comes home or when I come home first? Is this the way I'm supposed to express love and affection with my future husband? The role I play when my husband and I are jointly raising our kids? Is this the way I show support for my husband for all the good that he demonstrates? Is this the way that I show support for my husband for all the good that he demonstrates? Is this the way, I'm sorry, is this the strength and courage that I am to have as I stand up for what is healthy, morally right, and sound? Do I mimic her confidence when she refuses to compromise her moral standards and defends the souls of her children? Is this the standard of love, empathy, and compassion that I am going to emulate later in life? Now remember, those questions came from the female child's mind as she observes the mother, okay? All right, children need to have the different energy levels of male and female in their lives. Yeah. See, when a healthy yin and yang, positive, negative, not bad, you know, cool and hot qualities are present in the household, the child will have a more balanced view of life. That's why both parents need to be there. Not just be there, but jointly raise these kids. Yeah. Everything in life is built on the pairing system. It takes both the man and the woman to bring life into the world. So it only makes sense that it also takes two to mold, raise, and appropriately model healthy kids into healthy contributing adults. Even in the court system, you have what's called the prosecution and the defense, both presenting their perspectives to the judge and jury. There is night and day to balance our daily existence, and work and play to balance our emotions. Okay? The young female child, noticing how her mother handles her father and relates to him, provides the relationship standards that she will most likely adopt. The male child will see the same thing from the male perspective. The girl will know how to be in touch with her femininity and how to use it appropriately and effectively. And the boy will know what healthy manhood means, how healthy fathers are defined, and what determines real strength, confidence, courage, and commitment. Yeah, that's a bad word for some of y'all. Commitment. Children need the different perspectives of life, male and female, as they're growing and developing. You know, that shouldn't be too hard to understand. No. If you sisters out there, if you know you got a situation where you're raising your child by yourself without the father, find a father figure. It could be your brother, your uncle, big brothers, big sisters, mentor out there, somebody from your church community. Find a father image. All right? This is for your child. They need to have it. Very important to have it. And vice versa. Some men are raising the kids by themselves. Same thing. Then find a mother image. The kids need the healthy yin and yang in their lives. Okay? For sure. That's very important to understand that. All right? Our young ones need so much help from us. They have so much greatness, creativity, love, and ideas, but they don't have the developed skills yet to bring out what is locked up within them. No, they don't have that. Some of the tantrums, out-of-line behavior, and other emotional bursts originate from a frustrated self, not knowing how to appropriately say certain things or how to act in true accordance with their inner child. See, the inner child is pushing them to recognize their feelings, and the conscious child doesn't know how to respond appropriately. All they know is that, quote, something inside is tugging at me, pushing me to do something, and I don't know what it wants, so that frustrates me, so I'm going to act out because that is all I know to do, end quote. No one likes to be pushed and shoved, especially when you don't know who is doing the pushing, all right? That is what our kids are going through, you know, in those young years, you know, especially in those years prior to six. The spirit of intelligence, healthy curiosity, and the connecting spirit are pushing and tugging at them. Yeah. When they don't get the right skills to constantly recognize that which is calling them within, the results are sometimes ADD, ADHD, or some other nervous condition, or the label of the bad one. Yeah. You know, sometimes people are labeled ADD incorrectly. You know, but really ADD is really comes from something else. Sometimes genes cause that. It's not just behavior. You have ADD-like behavior, but not ADD, okay? All right? And they have doctors that know how to deal with that. And if you want to help with that, I know a therapist that has that as his specialty and does therapy on the phone. So if you need help with that, email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com, nrbookclub@gmail.com. If you got this issue, I'll direct you easily. I'll give you a website. I'm telling you, insurance pays for some of this also. Okay? Keep that in mind. Our confusion, frustration, anger, and fear become a regular inhabitant of the child. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is where we come along. Oh, I'm sorry. This is where we come in as loving, caring, empathic parents. It is our job to help these little ones in any way we can to help them realize their greatness. Yeah. They came out here, in a great form. God made us an excellent form. An excellent mold. Excellent mold. You know? So that's why it's very, very important to understand what you got there. An angel right from God. Okay? So now, you have the model. Oh, here it comes. Responsibility, work. You have the model for your children, appropriate parenting skills, roles, and consistent patterns of special time with each child. Yeah, some parents are lazy. They want the school to do everything. Remember, as a parent, you are automatically a homeschooler on one level or another. It's your job to do formal teaching at house, in your home. Everyone, yeah, formal teaching. Both y'all, yeah. Each child is an individual, comes here with their own special soul, which has its own needs, unlike anyone else. See, the mindset of a healthy parent wants to know what this particular child needs. They ask themselves, what did God bless me with in this little angel? What level of sensitivity do they have? Are they more introverted or extroverted? Do they need more touching or less touching? More digging to help them with their inherited greatness or less digging? More disciplining or less disciplining? What unique qualities am I observing in this little one? What natural inclinations am I noticing? How can I help them bring out more qualities that they already have demonstrated from within? How can I prompt them on a healthy path that needs to have the traits they already possess? Ooh, that's a good one. What educational and occupational choices are available to them where they can use their transferable skills in a meaningful and productive manner? See, these are questions parents should ask themselves when they see little angels coming out like that. Yeah. Since children tend to value what we as caring parents value, we need to show that we value special time with them. Make sure that they feel our love and importance in this special time. This will automatically feed and build their self-esteem, self-image, and self-worth, self-confidence. Yes. The special time could be anything that is done with them alone, making them the center of the activity. They're feeling closeness and the I'm special. Yeah, feeling. Oh, yeah. So we need to be aware of this and take full advantage of this time. See, two of the main objectives parents are to have are these. One, to help them in relaxing regularly to support paying attention, learning, problem solving, goal achieving, reducing stress, conscious and unconscious, and listening within to help them be more generally conscious or mindful. Now, this I got to say again, I said at the early part of this talk tonight, that I was on Oprah's Super Soul Sunday, and she had this short film about little kids. I copied it. I'm telling you, I got it for you. All you got to do is go to my website, my Facebook site, facebook.com/childselflove. Again, facebook.com/childselflove. All right? You scroll down, you'll see a picture of a sister right there, little she might be about 7 years old in there. And stirred by these children, I'm telling you, their parents must be so healthy, so conscious of doing the right thing. These kids are showing you how to breathe, how to relax. When I said the objectives are to help them relaxing regularly to support paying attention, well, the parents of these children have done it. I'm telling you, little kids are showing you how to relax. How to deal with anger. They're doing more. I'm telling you, because they're doing it from their perspective. It's fantastic. Yeah, go to facebook.com/childselflove and scroll down and you'll see it right there. Okay? I'm telling you, it's fantastic. That's why I shared it with everybody. I want everybody to see what these little children are doing. You know, now let me tell you, I got a personal website too, a personal Facebook site also. I put that posting on there. Now, you would think, now over 600 people on that other site as so-called friends, you would think something this healthy, this monumental thing would be liked by all hundreds of them, if not all of them. You know, I saw no postings, no likes whatsoever on there. No likes. I did this about 3 days ago. Huh? No likes, nothing. Nobody said they liked it, no comments. No posting it, no sharing, nothing. Isn't that something? But I go on the timeline, you know, timeline on Facebook, all kind of postings about fights and racism and hatred and victimizations and blaming and all this about what somebody's doing to us as a community and all that and politics and negative, negative, negative. And then you see all kind of posting, all kind of likes, 50, 60, 75 likes and stuff like that. But when I'm posting information about our children and these group of children who have learned how to deep breathe and relax and detour stress from their life. And no one posted, it said, man, look, isn't this something? You know, this is why we have the kind of lives we have. This is why we have so dysfunctional lives we have out here. I'm telling you, it's something. You know, we need to wake up. If we want to have productive, clean lives, we need to think differently. We need to have different kind of mindsets. Stop looking at drama on TV, all the so-called housewives of this, the housewives of that, reality show. You know, they're all scripted anyway. They aren't even real. You know, reality shows left and right. Stop it. Why are you so interested in someone else's life like that? Get your own life in order. Yeah. Yeah. You know, start increasing your universal love. You know, ask yourself, who have I helped today? Who have I helped today see a better life? Who have I helped today, you know, to see life a little differently? Who have I smiled at today? What smile did I bring on someone else's face today? Huh? Yeah. How many compliments have I given to someone today? How much validation have I given to my children today? Ask yourself that question instead of looking at your remote and trying to find out what the reality show is on so you can catch the latest episode of Bachelorette. Huh? Or Naked and Afraid or wherever who else is on there. Yeah. Ask ourselves different kind of questions. If you want to have the good life that God has created for you, we need to accept. I'm about to sign off, but tell you what. I want you to go to my show on Saturdays also. 2 o'clock on Saturdays, Eastern Standard Times, at blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. Like this program is / email Malfred. Mine is /reconnected. You like to call? Okay. All right. All I like to call, you know, many of you like to call, just listen on your phone. 347-994-2524. And 347-994-2524. Again, 347-994-2524. Okay? All right, you can listen that way. All right? And the my website, after the three W's, we have cloudsofabundance.com. Again, cloudsofabundance.com. And when you hear my show on Saturdays, you hear my theme song. My theme song is called Clouds of Abundance. Okay? Very important. And my email, nrbookclub@gmail.com. Like I mentioned before, I'll put the offer out there. In case some of y'all got a problem with anger management and you like what I was saying, but you want additional help, want some additional one-on-one time, and you want to see a therapist, I know one that has a business doing therapy through your phone. Okay? Email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com, and I'll refer you, okay? And the same therapist also has especially an ADD and ADHD. So in case your children have some issues there, you think your children might, you can ask him about it also. He can help you out that. And also, insurance does pay for some of this, maybe all of it. So email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com for that, okay? Everybody got that information? All right. Team, we're going to do part 19, God willing, next week. So everybody tune in. The time do vary sometimes. Most of the time it is 6:30 Eastern Standard Time, but sometimes it's later. But tune in. Go to the show on the show site, and it'll tell you at blogtalkradio.com/emailmalfred. Again, blogtalkradio.com/emailmalfred. Okay? All right. Praise God. Okay. Whew. Wonderful. Now I'm going to leave you with an affirmation. I did this last week, too. I might sign off with this all the time. This is a very good affirmation that came from the spirit of my book, Reconnected. All right? And if you want a copy of this, email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com, and I'll send it to you. All right? It goes like this. Everybody should say this every day and post this everywhere where you can see this and say it constantly. All right, here we go. Like this. I can create, and I am creating a powerful, passionate, peaceful, positive, and productive life for myself. I have unimaginable abilities. I can do anything, acquire anything, be anything I want to be. Nothing is impossible for me. God created me for excellence, by excellence, and through excellence. His spirit resides in me, is a part of me, and is directing me constantly, with me being the worthy co-pilot. Yes, all great opportunities and material gain are available for my use and enjoyment. I'll be great at anything I choose to do, because that's the only position I can take that I'll be satisfied with. Any and all problems I meet will be beneath me. I have the power and ability to always rise above my stresses and problems and come out a winner, because I am a natural winner and I love me for that. I can have the life I thought was only a dream, with the accomplishment of my goal and joy in my soul. Whew. Praise God. Okay, if you want a copy of that, in our book club at gmail.com. Okay, with that, I'm going to close the show out with a peace that only God has to be with you. Assalamu alaikum.